Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop De Quinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates consecrated to redemptive love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at www.prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm Lisa Lindsay. I'm your guest moderator today. And today I have with me Father Carl Zuha. Would you like to introduce yourself more than Father?
Thank you, Lisa, and welcome everyone to our program. Yes, my name is Father Carl Zuha. I'm a priest of the Omaha Archdiocese and a member of the Apostolic Sodalis, a secular institute of diocesan priests within the Pro-Sanctity umbrella. I am currently assigned to Divine Mercy Parish in Schuyler, Nebraska. I had served at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish in South Omaha for 8 years, and before that, 4 years at St. Pat's in Fremont. So it's wonderful to be here, and as we get into our wonderful topic of Lent.
Yes, Lent, and tomorrow, this is Saturday, and tomorrow is going to be Sunday. It's going to be the Feast of Our Lady of Trust. So we're going to be talking about our devotion to Our Lady of Trust, and we're going to be using Mary as our model to help us as we go through our Lenten journey, because we're all preparing for Lent. It's going to be Ash Wednesday next week, right?
Correct. And so here we are, and so these two moments are feast days, Our Lady of Trust on Sunday, one of the ways of a devotion to Mary. Leads wonderful into Lent, because we cannot fully engage in Lent without trust. Trust in God's grace that He will carry us through.
And that seems to be always my struggle. Probably not just mine.
Right. It's all ours. Correct. So, Mary's first encounter with the angel was a moment that she needed trust and was afraid at the apparition of Angel Gabriel and the first words of Angel Gabriel, "Be not afraid." And that Mary entered into this life of trust throughout. And so it helps us to both understand Mary's role in being with Jesus and how Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer, and that we are invited to certainly be disciples of Jesus and to accompany Jesus. The whole liturgical cycle of the Catholic Church comes around to where we have this season of Lent, and Lent allows us to experience in a deeper way the redemptive love that Christ showed on the cross, and that is everything for us. The passion, death, resurrection is our redemption, our hope for salvation. And so Lent is not meant to be a dull and a time of despair, but one of hope. And to achieve that hope, we need this trust. Mary comes to us offering this trust. She comes to us and invites us to journey with her to accompany Jesus. Interesting that throughout Lent, we are invited not only to give up something in order to taste, so to speak, the things of the passion of Christ in a deeper way. But we are invited into a true experience with Jesus, a true time of all that Jesus suffered throughout his life. And Mary was there at those moments that Jesus suffered. He knew of the Father's love and the Father's presence with him throughout his whole life. And Mary knew that too. But in this world, this fallen world, the world of sin, of death, of this presence of the evil, that there were those difficult moments. And so even the devotion of the seven sorrows of Mary are moments that during this time of Lent, if we meditate upon them, they help us to journey with Jesus in all aspects of his life of suffering, leading all the way up into his passion and death. The seven sorrows began at that prophecy of when Jesus was presented in the temple, and the prophet Simeon had foretold that a sword would pierce the heart of Mary, and thus she would know that Jesus, as this sign of contradiction to the world, that she knew that she would suffer with Jesus throughout his life. She did not shrink away from that duty. She did not run from that. She embraced it, and with God's grace and trust in God's goodness, she lived her life and is a model for us. After the prophecy of Simeon, there is the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt, great suffering along the way. We can hardly imagine the difficulties they encountered with hardly anything, and trust that they were doing God's will. There was also the losing and the finding of the child Jesus when he was 12 years old, and great anxiety for those 3 days while Joseph and Mary searched for Jesus. And we can imagine Mary, a mother's heart, with great anxiety, wondering what happened to Jesus. Yes. We fast forward through the life of Jesus, and the next of the devotion of the seven sorrows to Mary is where Mary meets Jesus along the way to Calvary. And a wonderful experience that I had this last November of going with a pilgrimage group to the Holy Land. And not only seeing those sites of Nazareth, of the temple, and certainly the birth and of Jesus of Bethlehem and Nazareth, but then along the Via Crucis, the way of the cross, and where we had to, with our group, kind of fight our way through the hubbub that was going on in the city street where this happened. Vendors selling, people, other tourists, and trying to recollect ourselves at the stations of the cross was something that took effort, and yet it was meaningful to pray along that way. But we can imagine that as Jesus was crucified, it was a common thing, and so the other store vendors would be upset that their vending would be interrupted by people going by with Jesus at his own thing, not even paying attention. At time, we had a little ire or frustration that people were not trying to be respectful to our prayer time. But we can imagine at this time of Jesus, and Mary too was right there. She met Jesus along the way. And certainly that scene in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, is very meaningful as Mary meets Jesus. But in that own time of people of all sorts of different walks of life, different states of their spiritual journey, so to speak, and different attitudes of what's going on, that Jesus continued on his way. And our task would be to not let the everyday activities or events of our own life to usurp those moments that Jesus would desire for us in prayer, that God would invite us into this time of Lent. Mary's sorrows continue, certainly at the crucifixion, that moment of great pain for her, as Jesus was taken off the cross and laid in her lap. that she held tenderly the dead body of Jesus, and then as they laid him in the tomb. And as our own journey continued, we went right to where Jesus was laid in the tomb. And it was wonderful to be there, certainly a prayerful, a spiritual, even a mystical moment, because not only is this where he was laid, but this is where the resurrection happened. This is where the new life began. And that hope came back around in our own Stations of the Cross that we prayed in Jerusalem, and that we can continue, that we can experience, even though we perhaps have never been there, in our own spiritual journey, wherever we are at, whether at home, at work, throughout our time of Lent. Lent is in a sense both a sprint and a marathon. We are in training as spiritual athletes. And thus, as St. Paul would say, an athlete gives up many things to win the crown. And that, athletic athletes, win a fading crown, a crown of leaves that may fade, or even gold that does fade eventually. But we race for this spiritual crown. And so we can understand that we are not to be spectators at this time of Lent, but to be involved in the mysteries of Christ, and specifically the passion and death. And Mary gives us a great companionship. She gives us something, she is present with us in a way that is very, very helpful, we should deepen our prayer with Mary and towards Mary during this time of Lent, that she would give us the courage and the strength to understand the will of God, of how deeply he would have us be united with the sufferings, the passion, the death of Jesus in this time of Lent. And in we are not afraid. We go forward courageously. And that the more we enter into this time of Lent, the more that we experience that glory and the joy and the hope of the resurrection.
As Father, you talked to us about the seven sorrows. So I think we're all familiar with the Stations of the Cross that we often use when we're going on our Lenten.
And that are in nearly every Catholic church in some way or another. The images of the Stations of the Cross are in the churches. So we're familiar with them.
Right. We're very familiar with them. I think that it's, for me at least, I know it's a new thing, the thought of going with Mary, using the devotion of the seven sorrows. It's a new way. It kind of breathes a new life into it, though of course we're going to be doing our Stations of the Cross as well.
Correct.
But the Seven Sorrows is a new way to enter into that Lenten journey. I just wanted to go over that again. You said the presentation with she was told that the sword would pierce her heart.
Correct.
The flight into Egypt, where she traveled with the Holy Family. She lost the child, Jesus, in the 3 days where they couldn't find him, which is a part of the Rosary as well, Mysteries of the Rosary. She meets Jesus along the way to Calvary as he's traveling the way of the cross. The crucifixion, which she was holding him in her arms, that was like the Pietà.
Yes. Well, the crucifixion is Christ there on the cross,
so
that's
okay.
One point. And then when he's taken off the cross,
then that's the one I lost. Okay.
That's the Pietà.
So the Christ, Mary at the crucifixion, and then when they take him off is the where we commonly see her in the position of the Pietà, holding his broken
Michelangelo's
body in her
arms. In St. Peter's in the side altar where they have that Pietà. It's a wonderful place of prayer. My insight, the first time that I had seen that, probably in the year 2000, the Jubilee year, was to step back, first to step forward and just to admire a great work of art. The balance, the symmetry, the expression that's carved into something hard and solid as stone that Michelangelo was to bring forth the expressions of not only Mary's sorrow, but that stillness of Christ. And but then to step back and look at the many people who stopped in and prayed in front of the Pietà, asking for Mary for courage, for trust, as they would pray with Christ into his death and resurrection. And it occurred to me a thought of Michelangelo. To create that, must have spent, if not dozens, then hundreds of hours, I imagine, carving that that image. And I had thought, well, you know, to be a disciple, we must serve one another. Shouldn't Michelangelo have been in a soup kitchen serving others? Wouldn't that have been more of God's will for him? What he did do, according to God's will, to carve that he inspired the rest of us to
millions
of people to live this moment of the passion and death, this self-sacrifice that Christ exemplified, that Mary in her own way exemplified, and that God invites us into, that without that piece of artwork, our image and our understanding of what Christ had wrought on the cross, the salvation he wrought for us, would be less, perhaps. So that in our own way, our own meditation, it may not be active, but it's contemplative that leads to action. And so that's another aspect of our Lent, that we contemplate with Mary on the life of Jesus, that forms in us, it chisels away anything that's excess, so that the unique created image and likeness of God that is inside of each of us comes out in a more perfect way, and thus we can more fully live the will of God in our own lives in that active discipleship. So both of those are necessary, and Lent provides a wonderful time to do the hard work sometimes. We have these great faults that we want to tackle, but we also need to pay attention to even the little sins that are going on. What's the motivation? What is the reason behind? And to be intent during this time of Lent to get rid of any sin, the big ones as well as the little ones. But in the same way that Michelangelo or any artist would chip away the big chunks of stone in order to get to the rough form, but then that rough form taking fine work to sand down, to rub away, to take away that until the finished product is there. And Lent is that wonderful time to enter into that, letting God mold us in that way.
And you also said that then finally the seventh sorrow was when they laid Jesus in the tomb. And you said something when you talked about that sorrow, because also you said that Lent is also a time for hope. And you said because new life also begins after if he wasn't laid in the tomb, how could he be resurrected? You know, how could he come back to us? And so, it's not just a time of giving up, but surely a time for hope as well, as we look forward to Jesus coming again, you know, on the final day. And so that's a beautiful way to come to the to come into Lent, trying to get rid of all of those things that hold us back and the obstacles in our lives, and then to look forward to hope in the resurrection.
And that's where our Christian faith gives us this motivation to enter into life, or to live life in an excellent way, not just a half-hearted way, just not a normal way, but to be saints. And that's what we understand as saints who lived their life of virtue in a heroic way. We're all called to be heroes. We're all called to live virtue. And in our own uniqueness, in our own image and likeness of God, those virtues will take on different emphases. What one virtue somebody may be heroically practicing, another one has aspects of other virtues. And the saints show that to us. The lives of the saints show us that here comes everybody, and that we are all involved in this. And so to have that trust, to not be afraid, but then to receive the joy. And in the midst of the suffering that this world brings, that we know that our suffering is not without merit. When it is united to the cross of Christ and with the tears of Mary, that our suffering is redemptive and it has meaning. And we can understand that meaning in a deeper way in this time of Lent.
I know a lot of times when we're suffering, we can't understand why. But especially as Catholics, I think we understand. You talked about the redemptive suffering and how we can call upon we can give our suffering up. They say, give it over, give your suffering up, so that it has meaning and that it works for building up of the body of Christ. And as Catholics, we certainly should be aware of that. And Mary, as our true model of holiness and Our Lady of Trust, she teaches us about the redemptive value of that suffering as well. And as we're in Lent, we can learn more about that. And as we become more trusting, leaning upon Mary to help us, because I know that seems to me probably in the confessional, and maybe all of us, we just lack that trust. And that's maybe some of the cause of our sin, some of the reasons for our sin. As you said, chipping away so that we're more molded in the image of Christ. A lot of our sin has to do with the being afraid and the lack of trust. So, maybe a devotion to Mary or deeper devotion to Mary can be helpful to all of us. And that's something that that's we right. can do on this Lenten journey.
Right. And that's the other prayer that was frequently on the lips of the founder of the Pro-Sanctity Movement, Bishop Jacinta, is still our ending of many prayers. Immaculate Heart of Mary, true model of every holiness, give trust to become saints. And that Immaculate Heart of Mary that was united to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is an invitation for us to unite our hearts to their hearts. And we have trust and we have hope, and we know that God is very present in our lives.
I also want to remind people it's a good time to go to confession. Wouldn't
yes.
you say, Father?
Amen. Amen. And and to prepare well, many pull out your iPhone if you have that with your confession app on there. That doesn't take place of confession, but it's a wonderful help, as there are many wonderful helps for confession available either on the internet, in parishes, in the various devotional books, to really take a time to prepare for confession, to use it frequently, and thus to become those saints in the world.
And I just want to remind people out there, even if you haven't been in a long time, that doesn't mean you can't go, right, Father? It's like right. there's no limitation on the number of years it's been since you've been to confession that you
right.
can't come back.
And if somehow, some way, you don't even have a piece of paper, you don't even know where to start, walk on in and tell the priest. And we pray that priest would be compassionate, receiving, as Jesus says, more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 righteous, to know that if it's been many, many years and you walk into that confessional, the angels are dancing in heaven and there's a party going on.
Amen.
But to have that trust and to walk in, and even if you don't know how to start, where to start, just walk in and tell the priest, and you'll miracles will happen.
Come on home. We invite Amen. You. We invite you back, especially now in this beautiful time of Lent. Well, I'm just going to close out here with some housekeeping about Pro-Sanctity, things that are going on. We want you to know that tomorrow, which is March 6th, is a celebration, Pro-Sanctity's celebration of Our Lady of Trust. It's from 1 to 4 o'clock p.m. at St. Thomas More School Social Hall, and that's on 3515 South 48th Avenue here in Omaha. And the reflection is going to be on Mary, Model of Holiness, a lot of the things that we've talked about today, by Monsignor Charles Mangan. And there's going to be a children's program also available for children ages 3 to 10. Also, Saturday, March 12th, the following weekend, there's going to be the Pro Sanctity Formation Day and Planning. It's going to be led by our own wonderful Omar Gutierrez. And there's going to be a 9 o'clock breakfast and morning prayer, followed by Omar's presentation on the Pro Sanctity Creed and the 6 points for holiness. And it's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to have a lot going on. We look forward to you being there. Feel free to bring friends. And you can find out more on our website, which is www.prosanctity.com. That's again, prosanctity.org. www.prosanctity.org. And we're going to close with a prayer today. We're going to do a different one. Father Zuha today is going to close with a prayer to Our Lady of Trust. So.
And this prayer was written by and composed by Bishop Jaquinta, the founder of the Pro Sanctity Movement. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Drawn by the need of your help in the many trials which engulf us in this life, we come to your feet, O Virgin of Trust, to pour out to the heart of a mother our wishes and failings. Since it is our duty to strive for perfection, it is also true that our mortal body makes the path difficult, and the enemies of our soul cease not from their attacks, while everywhere we are enticed to leave the difficult and straight way known only by a few travelers. And all the while, our suffering along the way, our own interior weakness and temptations press heavily to torment us and produce in our soul a feeling of faintness and sadness, which only means one thing, distrust in ourselves, in our ideal, in the means to obtain it. But your motherly look, which follows us as well as your immaculate heart, which your Son points our heart to us, opens our souls to a new feeling, the assurance of your help, and we want it, O Mary. We ask of it of you, we beg for it, sweetest mother. When sin entices us, stay with us and be our strength. And when mediocrity absorbs us, do not leave us. And when the ascent to the perfection of the Father makes us weary, whisper a word of help, O Mary. Trust. If we will listen to this word of yours, the way will be easier, the goal closer, and our confidence more certain, that we shall reach sanctity. So repeat this word often, trust. Repeat it to us and to everybody, O Mary, because all people must become saints. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you very much, Father.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the Pro Sanctity Movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The Pro Sanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.